Cloudy daily. The highs each day gone to about the lower to middle 80s.
The Old Farmer's Day, a reenactment of the methods our forefathers used in the old days. There'll be demonstrations of an old-time working kitchen, a working smokehouse, pottery-making seminar, spinning wheel demonstration, blacksmith demonstration, wagon rides, antiques and crafts, October 21st and 22nd. Entertainment by the Fifth Wheel Band and Ferg's Highway. And a horse and mule pulling contest on Sunday. $15 per person for non-campers. Campers are allowed to get in free at Brunette Farms, 2.5 miles north of La Ronger on La Ronger Road.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
It's time to join Huck and Dave for 1 hour of educational news and conversation. They will discuss the current events that you are not going to hear on the mainstream media. The left wants to silence our free speech and take away our liberties. Huck and Dave want to open up the lines of communication and allow you, our listeners, to speak about what America wants. Call Huck and Dave for open discussions at 504-556-9696, or you can reach them at libertyorlockdown.live. Now, let's go live and direct to Huck and Dave for Liberty or Lockdown.
Welcome to Liberty or Lockdown. This is Dave, and on the other side of the studio is Huck, and in between us is our esteemed guest, Dr. John Merrifield. He has a lot more important things to say than I do, that's for sure. So, Martha, what's up?
All right. So, thank you so much for being here. Dr. John Merrifield, author of School System Reform, How and Why is a Priceless Tale, Restoring America's Fiscal Constitution and a Fiscal Cliff. Fiscal Cliff. I always say that incorrectly. Fiscal Cliff. Dr. John Merrifield, we welcome you here to Louisiana, to New Orleans. Appreciate you for being here in the studio with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Always good to be here with y'all and talk to the folks that make it happen.
That's right. That's right. So I know to a lot of our listeners, you know that we've been talking a lot about school choice and school system reform for the last couple of years. And it's been a blessing and a pleasure to meet with Dr. John Merrifield and work together to try to create, bills for school choice and get them through the House and the Senate. And we're still at it. We have not quit. We will not quit. A lot of you hear our commercial that Dave and I put out where, we're going to fight for Louisiana to come out of the trenches of 47, 48, 49, and 50th in education. And our prayers and dreams and hopes and desires are to bring us up to number one and then pass the baton. Yes, sir?
Absolutely. Yeah, we can do that. No, I would say no problem without any hesitation, except some of the states nearby are getting a head start. And so we need to catch up and pass them to be number one.
That's correct.
Yeah, you know Mississippi state slogan? Thank God for Louisiana.
That's not funny, Dave. You made me laugh, but that's not funny. That's actually very sad. That makes me sad, Dave. So we have a lot of work to do here in Louisiana. Now that we've recently won the gubernatorial race, we're going to get that John Bel Edwards, the Democrat, out, and we're going to bring in Jeff Landry. Congratulations to you, Attorney General Jeff Landry, who will be our new governor soon. And then we have Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Billy Nungesser. He won his race, so he'll remain the lieutenant governor. We have Attorney General, Liz Murrell. She'll be our Attorney General. Congratulations to you. And then we have Secretary of State Nancy Landry. Congratulations to you as well. And then Treasurer John Fleming. We want to tell you congratulations on your run. And we are here for you. We love our Constitutional Republic, and we'll be fighting for you all the way. We hope that you represent the voters well. And let's get some of those school choice bills through the House and the Senate, and let's make Louisiana better than it's ever been. And with Dr. John Merrifield here, let's talk a little bit about fiscal cliff.
Well, we're close to it, and that's sad. We need to get some good ideas on the table, because that's what has a chance to be enacted. Good ideas have a chance to be enacted when there's a crisis. let's hope that the symptoms start appearing before the crisis gets too deep. But you know that it's not down to opinion, but based on math, we cannot pay 5% interest on $34 trillion of debt. Hmm. Simple as that. Now the interest rates are now 5%, but the federal debt hasn't totally rolled over to where we're paying 5% on all of it. When we get there, we're going to be spending a third of our federal revenue on interest, on debt service, a third. And the other two-thirds is only half of what we now spend. So we're looking at a 50% budget cut here in the next few years. It's hard to imagine. A lot of us would say, hey, bring it on. Yeah, as conservatives say, but it's got to be the right half that we cut, the correct half, not defense, not some other things that we can't cut in the short term, but we do not want to enter a fiscal crisis, a financial crisis, unprepared. We need to be prepared. There's still some chance of a soft landing, but it looks like we're going to go over the edge of the fiscal cliff. We need to be ready when that becomes imminent.
Where do you see us heading right now?
Well, interest rates are going to keep going up. And this year we're running a $2 trillion deficit, so we're adding that much to what we have to finance. I can't tell you what it'll take 2 or 3 years. Who knows how long the bond buyers will continue to pony up money at interest rates we can pay, but we're not very far away. And the most amazing thing about this fiscal crisis that we're close to is how few people, even highly educated people that should be in the know, how few people are aware of how bad this is.
Question. How big is a trillion? That's a sort of a rhetorical question. That would be what, $10,000 extra per person in the United States every year being added to the debt? Isn't that about right?
I haven't done that math. I know it's an awful lot of money. It's $1,000 billion.
Yeah.
You know, it's it's a phenomenal sum of money, and yeah, we're going to add $2 trillion to our debt this year. So we can't pay 5% of $34 trillion, and pretty soon it's going to be 5% of $36, $37, $38, $40 trillion.
Trillion here, a trillion there. Pretty soon it starts adding up to some serious money.
Yeah, Everett Dirksen said that, only he used the B word rather than the T word when he said that. So, yeah, it was serious. It's serious money when it's millions. We're talking trillions now.
Okay, I have a question for you. What kind of doctor are you?
I have a doctorate in economics.
Okay, so you kind of are in your area of expertise here, aren't you?
I sure am.
Yeah, how'd you get interested in this?
Well, I got tired of teaching in faculty meetings in about 2019, and I said, our country's facing some existential threats, namely the two that I talk about most, the low-performing, semi-dysfunctional school system, and then the fact that we're spending like crazy. I was going to say like a drunken sailor, but that's not fair because drunken sailors are spending their own money. Yeah. We're not. We're spending other people's money, and we're running out of other people's money. The symptoms aren't here yet, which is why most people are complacent about it, but they'll arrive. And we need to be ready. We need to put some good ideas how to deal with this and how to benefit from it. The government's too big. We need cut in spending, but it needs to be the right stuff cut. I did some back and forth with some of my Institute for Objective Policy Assessment members recently on the issue of Ukraine, and now it's Israel that needs our support. We're going to be lucky to be able to adequately fund our own defense here in the near future. So the back and forth was, we support Israel, we need to support Ukraine. Say, sure we do, but we're broke. So, that's what our institute does. We have civil informed disagreement to inform people, and you can pick whatever side you want on whatever issue you want, but we always have the ability to show all the sides to it, and, we are broke.
Well, we can't be broke. Can't we just print up more money?
Yeah, that's that magical monetary theory that our political opponents keep pointing to. Sure we can, yeah. That's called hyperinflation.
Yeah.
The Germans figured that out about 100 years ago. That would be the worst possible thing that could happen. That means that all of our savings, all of our money is completely worthless in a very short time going down that road.
All right. Well, this is Liberty or Lockdown. We're going to go on a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dr. John Merrifield.
There's something happening here. it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their mind.
Hello, Patriots. My name is Connie, and I am a fellow Louisianian. I started an online store in 2019 exclusively selling products which are made in the USA. My site is AmericanCentralStore.com. That's AmericanCentralStore.com. The reason for this ad is that I need products. I am trying to find drop shipping merchants with Louisiana-made products that can ship directly to the customer. If you are a Louisiana merchant who makes quality products, and if you can drop ship your products directly to the customer, I would love to hear from you. The only products I cannot carry right now are clothing items, but will carry those in the future. Please visit my site at AmericanCentralStore.com. Click the Contact Us link for the phone number and email address. Thank you, Patriots. Be American. Buy American.
Chicken, chicken, chicken! Some of them old bars down in the Louisiana legislature are willing to let teachers teach our kids that all white people are inherently racist, and that Louisiana is a racist state, and that America is a racist country. Them old bars are too chicken to stand up for America. They ought to be put out on the chicken farm.
It's Jeff Cruer, host of Ringside Politics. I'd like to introduce WGSO General Manager Mary Ann Guzman.
WGSO is locally owned and operated right here in New Orleans. We believe in cultivating local talent and emphasize local programs. If you have an interest in hosting your own program, then we have some prime spots available.
Thanks, Mary Ann. Folks, take advantage of this great offer. Email me at jeff@wgso.com or call me at 504-669-6076. Come fulfill your radio dreams at WGSO.
Hey, it's Kevin Carr with your personal sneak preview invitation to join me on Sunday evening from 8 to 9 for Fat Guys at the Movies. Each week, I give you my take on the newest movies and movie news, but in a fun way. Not like those stuffy movie review snobs who take themselves way too seriously. I tell you if the new movies rock or not. Yes, it's fun for all ages with Fat Guys at the Movies. I'll see you Sunday evening at 8 on WGSO 990 AM.
When the time came, I knew I had to find a place where Mom would be safe and active while still feeling independent. A place that was close to all of us and everything she needed. Locally owned and operated in the heart of Gonzales, I found Francois Benz Senior Living. They specialize in independent and assisted living and memory care.
Call 225-647-BEND for more information on our special pre-leasing offers.
Francois Benz Senior Living. Experience life as it should be.
Welcome back to Liberty or Lockdown. We are not going to take this anymore. So we're going to go right back to Dr. John Merrifield, the economist. Dr. John Merrifield, that scripture you use, John 6:6.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit why you use that scripture.
Well, I am John, and I am 6:6, and it's a great Bible verse. Especially for a person that was a professor for 35 years, I often did exactly what that Bible verse said, namely, I told him, even though I already knew what I wanted him to do. And I could never remember that Bible verse verbatim, but that's the gist of it.
We're going to have Dave look it up so he can tell us in a second. But let's go back to what we were talking about in our first segment about the fiscal cliff, all right?
Yeah.
Where are we with all this? I know that you were mentioning our debt and how we're not going to climb out of it unless we change things.
Well, the first thing that we need to do, especially if we have any hope of a soft landing and not a crash landing, is we need to cap spending growth. And the reason that we need to do that is, of course, the obvious reason, namely, let's not add any more to the debt. But the less obvious reason is we need to insure our bond buyers. We're paying 3 percentage points more than the Germans are on their debt. 3% of $34 trillion is a lot of money. Why do the bond buyers charge us so much more than the Germans? Because they're sure the Germans are going to pay off. They're not so sure that we're going to be able to pay off. The bond buyers are rational human beings putting trillions of dollars of money into that market, and they're demanding a reasonable return, including the return for risk. The risk on our bonds is increasing because of how deeply in debt we are, and that we can't pay 5% interest on all of that debt, and the interest rates are sneaking up to 5%. So we need to assure those bond buyers so that they'll buy our interest, buy our debt at a lower price. That'll buy us some time, and then through the capping spending growth, alongside of that, we need to accelerate economic growth. It's amazing that almost no one is talking about all the things that we can and should do to accelerate economic growth. But debt itself creates debt fatigue. So if we don't actively do things to remove impediments to economic growth, really stupid things like the Jones Act or an education system that's totally broken that undermines economic growth, the fact that we're not doing some of those things, we're not even talking about them, is mind-boggling. We desperately need to increase economic growth to minimize how much budget cutting we need to do. As you might remember, Ronald Reagan said, the hardest thing to kill is a federal program. Well, some of them are going to die of their own death. But we need the right ones to die or to be killed off, not the wrong ones. We need to still be able to pay our seniors. Yeah,
that's you're thinking right.
Medicare and Social Security. That is already in current law destined for about a 20% cut, and so that'll hurt. I mean, I'm a senior. I'm not looking forward to my future benefits being cut by 20%, but that's already cooked into the current law, and it might need to be cut by more than that. And then just Medicare, Social Security plus defense is about all the money we have left over out of our revenue after paying the interest that the Constitution requires us to pay first. Yeah, those bond buyers are first in line for our money, and only what's left over is available for paying Medicare, Social Security, and defense. And after that, there's not much left for the actual rest of the federal government. And some of that, yeah, can go. And by the way, there's a local dimension to all of this. A lot of those federal programs pay money to our state and local governments. That's going to be the first thing that goes, or at least let's hope that it is, because we don't want to undermine defense. But a lot of things that are locally and state funded now are no longer going to be federal funded, or that are provided by state, and they're not getting. And so the state and local governments had better start looking at those programs and figuring out whether they want to keep funding them or how they're going to get by without them.
It seems like we're in such a mess that it's almost impossible to dig our way out of it. Although, as a Christian, I know that's God's got it, and at some point in time, either we lose completely and, I don't know, I hate to say America go bankrupt, but that's looking like where we're headed.
Well, we're broke already. We just haven't seen the symptoms widely yet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dave, you got a question?
I think I'm pretty cynical about this, but I do believe the book of Revelation, and I don't see the United States mentioned in Revelation. Other people would say, yeah, there we are. I think we're going to go bankrupt and somebody's going to own us.
Now, that's possible. The one saving grace there is a lot of the rest of the world is as broke as we are.
Yeah.
It's hard to sort out exactly how it's going to crash or when, but it's widely agreed, and it just math says it's not sustainable. It will end. And that's why I started my think tank, among many reasons, is because we need to put some good ideas on the table before these symptoms hit.
And if you're interested in that, knowing a little bit about this, is you can go to www, and it's policytalk.org.
That's right.
That's www.policytalk.org.
Oh, no, there's no www in there. It's just plain old policytalk.org.
There you go.
Yeah, that www is becoming more and more scarce, and yeah, we don't need it.
All right, perfect. Yeah. No www, just policytalk.org.
Yeah, that's it.
And all right, so let's continue talking about school system reform.
Yeah, the local dimension to that is you just got a new governor.
Yes.
And in my drive into town, I heard him or somebody on his behalf say, school choice, go forward. And I read some stuff about him, and I'm not so sure that he's for universal school choice. Huh. That's absolutely, definitely, positively what we have to have. We need something transformational, not a Band-Aid, not a, we're going to move a few kids from one kind of existing school to another. We need something that's a catalyst for transformation of our school system so that through competition, entrepreneurial initiative, all of the schools will get better. The public schools will get better even if they don't do anything because the students that fit the least, that are the poorest fits for the existing public school curriculum will take advantage of universal choice by leaving to some existing schools that are good, but probably mostly new schools that we haven't even seen yet. And through that, some of the children that are unhappy in the public school system will be elsewhere, and that will help the teachers perform better. The children that are not a good fit for their assigned public school need to be somewhere else, not just for their own sake, but for their classmates who are disrupted by these children who are unhappy where they are and not engaged. They act out, they disrupt. We need to get them out of there to a school that does engage them, for which they are a good fit, and we need to create a system where the entrepreneurs will create more such schools.
I think Dave has a little to say about that.
Oh, yeah. It's an interesting thing that you said that. In my opinion, the worst thing that's ever happened to schools is smartphones. Kids will sit there, and they're supposed to be learning, but no, they're playing games on the smartphones instead. We need to tell the parents, okay, if you want to send your kid to school with a dumb phone so they can call home for emergencies, that's fine, but get rid of those smartphones. That stops so many kids from learning because they just want to play.
Well, there's two sides to that. I totally agree with what you just said, but part of it is they're not engaged in the schooling that they have, and because they're bored, their alternative is to play games on the phone. If we could get them into a schooling environment where they're excited about what's being presented in the classroom, they're engaged by how the content is being presented, they're engaged because of the content. Let me give you an example of how this could work. Let's say that an entrepreneur decides to create a school that teaches all the reading, writing, civics, all of that stuff through sports stories. Okay? And so we're not talking about a jock school. We're talking about a school that is a perfect fit for kids that love to think and talk sports. I see we're coming up to a break, so let me finish that thought afterwards.
All right, this is Liberty or Lockdown. We'll be right back.
Patriots, my name is Connie, and I am a fellow Louisianian. I started an online store in 2019 exclusively selling products which are made in the USA. My site is AmericanCentralStore.com. That's AmericanCentralStore.com. The reason for this ad is that I need products. I am trying to find drop shipping merchants with Louisiana-made products that can ship directly to the customer. If you are a Louisiana merchant who makes quality products, and if you can drop ship your products directly to the customer, I would love to hear from you. The only products I cannot carry right now are clothing items, but will carry those in the future. Please visit my site at AmericanCentralStore.com. Click the Contact Us link for the phone number and email address. Thank you, Patriots. Be American. Buy American.
Chicken, chicken, chicken! Some of them old bars down in the Louisiana legislature are willing to let teachers teach our kids that all white people are inherently racist, and that Louisiana is a racist state, and that America is a racist country. Them old bars are too chicken to stand up for America. They ought to be put out on the chicken farm.
Hey, Mimi, we're moving.
Moving to Wednesdays at 5.
You can check out He Said, She Said on a new day.
Hump Day.
A new day, but we'll still be discussing and debating the hot topics.
And take your phone call.
You can listen to us on 990 AM WGSO, WGSO.com.
And find out who's right. Of course, that's me.
No, of course, that's me. I've been doing this 23 years, Mimi.
Practice makes perfect.
So you see, we'll have plenty to talk about on He Said, She Said.
Wednesdays at 5.
Right here on WGSO.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Colleen Crane. New Orleans police have not yet made an arrest in Monday's carjacking of the Orleans Parish District Attorney. NOPD Superintendent Ron Lebrano says another person was carjacked a few blocks away less than 30 minutes later, and at this point they're hesitant to release any details of the investigation.
We are still aggressively investigating, and we're not prepared to release any more information on this. And we don't want to taint the investigation.
And Thibodaux police arrest a 13-year-old for firing a gun multiple times outside the stadium where Thibodaux High was playing Hahnville in football on October 6th. Lieutenant Clint Dempster says the shooting occurred after a fight between two groups of juveniles in the parking lot of the stadium. And once that fight broke up and some of the individuals left the area, gunshots rang out.
We did determine that the actual scene occurred just outside of a school grounds. So it did not occur on school grounds.
LRN.
As parents, we have a lot to be proud of. Our kids are smart, talented, and dedicated, but all of them are at risk. 1 in 3 Louisiana high school students use e-cigarettes, and every day more teens struggle with vape-related problems like nicotine addiction and lung damage. The time to talk to your teen is now, and we can help. Get vaping facts, talking tips, and quitting resources at BehindTheHazeLA.com. Sponsored by the Louisiana Department of Justice.
Hey, Louisiana, how are you stopping litter?
In Terrebonne Parish, we put our trash in a bag and never out the car window.
In Bienville, we bag it, tie it, and put a lid on it.
We keep litter out of our lakes in Lafayette.
And in Calcasieu Parish, we keep our roads clean by clearing out our truck beds and securing our loads.
We need every person in every parish to stop littering and keep Louisiana beautiful.
For more litter prevention tips, visit LetLouisianaShine.org.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Lieutenant Governor's Office and Keep Louisiana Beautiful.
Some people in the Louisiana legislature want to permit the teaching of critical race theory in our state. That theory says that if two babies are born today, one black baby and one white baby, that the white baby is the mean racist oppressor of the black baby, and that the black baby is the weak, incompetent victim of the white baby. Unbelievable. Those people say that the innocent white baby by his DNA is bad and racist, and the black baby by his DNA is a weak victim who can never succeed. Only a total fool would believe or accept this idiocy. Yet they want to teach this foolishness to Louisiana's young people. Please call your legislator today and raise some sand.
The Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience presents NOLA Funk Fest, October 20th through the 22nd at the New Orleans Jazz Museum. This festival includes 3 days of our local beloved music, food, art, and fun, plus a special Fats Domino and Dave Bartholomew exhibit. The festival will feature Irma Thomas, Leo Nocentelli, the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, George Porter Jr. and the Runnin' Partners, and so much more. For tickets and more information, go to NOLAFunkFest.com.
Hey, it's Christian. When it comes to buying appliances, buy where the builders buy, and that's at DTS Appliance Direct. Shop local. Don't go to the big box store when you need a new appliance. Call my friends at DTS Appliance Direct, 504-766-0738. DTS Appliance Direct has brands from GE, Cafe, Monogram, Blaze Grill, Z-Line, and many more. DTS Appliance Direct, 504-766-0738. 504-766-0738.
Welcome back to Liberty of Lockdown, and this is Dave in the studio with Dr. John Merrifield, who's been talking about educational reform and fiscal reform, And this is his particular area of expertise. He is a PhD in economics, correct?
That's right.
That's right. So it sounds like he might know something about economics.
Well, economics is a big field, and I'm one of the world leaders in a few of the areas. I mean, woo-hoo. This is no time on the radio to be modest.
But no, there's it's a whole, not. That's exactly right. Tell them what you know, Dr. Merrifield.
You know, school system reform, fiscal, climate change debate, urban poverty, those are the big four at the Institute for Objective Policy Assessment. On those, you know, I can rub shoulders with the those who know the most on that subject at any conference anywhere. Now, that said, there's about 100 other areas of economics upon which I'm just an ordinary mortal, maybe a little exalted above an ordinary mortal, but not too much.
Hey, can you give me change of a $21 bill? 3 sevens or 7 threes?
Yeah, I can do the math, I haven't seen the 21. Let me finish my thought before we have a big break on the sports school. Again, some people are just appalled by that, and you should be. It's not a fit for a lot of kids. A lot of kids sent to a sports school would die of boredom. They'd be on their phones. They'd be acting out. But the reason I use that example is because I know you know some kids that would go bonkers to learn all their P's and Q's and R's through sports stories. Okay? So they would go to school. They wouldn't even imagine opening up their phone to get on that. They would be so into what the teacher is talking about. They could be talking about how to write, and they would be writing sports stories. They could be talking about statistics and figure out batting averages. They would be so jazzed that they would learn probably 10 times more, and they wouldn't have an issue with their phones because they'd be so into what they were doing.
Now, I actually know a few kids like that, actually.
Yeah. So that's the kind of school system we need to create by opening it up, by leveling the playing field between public and private. That's what your new governor, Mr. Landry, needs to do. Universal choice and a level playing field. Arkansas provides a good model. We can do even better than that. We need to. But Arkansas is what they did. That's a good starting point. And let's make the education savings accounts maybe a little bit bigger if you live in a poor area, so that we can draw some people into those and economically develop those. But, you know, that's the kind of school system we need to create, these specialized school that would be just unbelievable for some kids, while, you know, like the sports story, there are some kids would not do well at a sports theme-oriented school. And so that's why you have to have school choice.
That's correct. Right. And I liked what you said about, you know, the public schools. You don't you're not putting them down, but you're saying it's not for everyone. You're not putting the charters down. You're saying it's not for everyone. But there are other options. But the way things are right now, they're not available to the kids. And so by putting through these school choice, actually legislating and getting the bills passed through, like Arkansas's bill, and what are the other states that have already passed? I think that's Huckabee, right? Huckabee just passed that.
Yeah, that's in Arkansas.
Arkansas, right?
Yeah, Iowa's done the right thing. You know, I can't remember off the top of my head what exactly all of them are. However, let me tout my own home state now of Utah. They have leveled the playing field. The education savings accounts, which means if you opt out of your assigned public school, you get $8,000 in an account you can spend on anything educational per year. And in Utah, the state is a low-spending state, because they have lots of kids in Utah, so the budget there doesn't stretch that far across all those kids. But $8,000 is almost 100% of what follows a child to a traditional public school in Utah. So the entrepreneurs are going to be going bonkers in Utah now, trying to figure out schools that they can create that for $8,000 plus what parents might top off that with a little bit could afford to do. Sorry, Martha.
No, that's okay. And so coming from it from a perspective like we had talked about, where Representative Beryl Amity was saying homeschoolers don't want the government in their business. And how would it benefit a homeschooler?
For example, that education savings account. If somebody wants to homeschool, they can spend that money on books and therapy and tutoring, those sorts of things. The education savings account was a brilliant barcode kind of an idea. Namely, that you get a debit card that accesses this money, and it's restricted to educational things.
Now, how do we keep government out of homeschooling? Because that's a lot. That's the reason why people homeschool these days.
Well, that's one of those eternal vigilance things. Once the government's already involved in homeschooling, The question is, will it be more or less involved as a result of these? I would say less involved, typically, because the homeschoolers now have a lot more freedom to do a lot more things that they don't have to ask the government for permission for or money for if we have an education savings account policy here in Louisiana, to where the children get $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 a year for educational purposes as an alternative to attending the assigned school.
Well, let's talk a little bit about more school reform and what can we do to accomplish it here in Louisiana.
You know, there's two pathways of what I call school system reform. You're not going to get any school reform without school system reform. That's the school system. Those are the underlying ideas of how we fund things and how we govern them. So, you know, the one track is, you know, should we specify the curriculum? Yeah, sure. I call that central plan optimization. That's what most people think about when they think about school reform or school system reform, is changing all of the rules about teacher credentials and books that we can use and what goes into the library. You know, that's going to continue the way it is simply because public schools are going to continue to exist. My perspective on school system reform is to look at the governance and funding issues to provide a level playing field so that alternatives to the assigned school can flourish, not because the assigned school is bad, although many are, because of the poor incentives underlying the system, but because one size can never fit all and no amount of money will ever make one size fit all. So we need a diverse menu of schooling options. And to do that, we need to involve entrepreneurial initiative. And to do that, you know, we need the level playing field so that money follows children, so that you don't have to pay twice. Now, that's the problem with most school systems in America still. 41 out of 50 still have not significantly created any school choice. And so there, if your child is a poor fit for their assigned school, and Louisiana is still one of those, you have to pay twice, right? You have to be able to come up with money in addition to your taxes to pay the full tuition bill. In my home state now, in Utah, you only need to come up with tuition if it's more than $8,000.
Yeah, so people probably weren't aware of that they'd be paying twice.
Well, they're aware of it real fast once they decide that their children are not a good fit for the assigned school and look for alternatives. The private school folks hold out their hands and say, it's going to be a big chunk of change. And by the way, you still have to pay your school taxes.
That's exactly right.
And that hurts. And that's why the private sector is what it is, in desperate need of improvement, because it's emaciated, because it's being starved. People think about private schools and think they're these ritzy schools that only rich people attend, and they, those are out there. They're going to be fine because there are some rich people. But most of the private sector is church-run, church-subsidized, because that's all people can afford to pay if they have to pay twice. And we need to get away from that. We need a private sector that's dynamic, that's diverse, that where there are Christian schools, but not just Christian schools other than the wealthy ones. We need to, and you know, some of those should be those sports schools, because we know there are those kids out there like that. And there should be a lot of other business themes, health themes, schools, ways to teach and things to teach that would engage the children so that, yeah, we still should battle the cell phone use. I mean, there are, after all, children, and they are going to not necessarily be all that excited about academics and more excited about their social circles and the games on their phone. But let's do more than just ban the cell phones during school hours. Let's give the kids a reason to not pick them up and use them.
I can tell you that my son, after homeschooling for 3 years, now back into traditional schooling and, through prayer, chose a private Catholic school. And this school is thriving using the computers, and a lot of things are, it's a different way of education. A different way than he was used to traditionally, but still a lot of the same things being taught, just in a different manner, and he's thriving there. And so I do understand what you're saying. It's amazing what's happening in this particular school, which is Brother Martin over here in New Orleans. And I wasn't someone who touted that school. I did not know. I was someone really, my kids went to Jesuit. My older son went to Jesuit. So, but different forms of, you went to Jesuit too, huh, Dave?
That is correct. You're class of 70.
Exactly. And so there's different ways of, coming to this place of education. And I do agree with you. We do need more options. And I'd like to know why here in Louisiana we've not been given that. Or, you know, what's the holdup? Why are we fighting this so much? And what can we do to get over that hump to increase our education? We can't go anywhere else. We're already at the bottom. So there's no other way but up from here on out. Yeah?
Glad to answer that after the break.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Liberty or a Lockdown here with Dr. John Merrifield. Independence Day. She's golden rule, teaches school. Some folks say it isn't cool, but she says the pledge of allegiance anyway. He's got the red, white, blue flying high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a tag.
Hello, Patriots. My name is Connie, and I am a fellow Louisianian. I started an online store in 2019 exclusively selling products which are made in the USA. My site is AmericanCentralStore.com. That's AmericanCentralStore.com. The reason for this ad is that I need products. I am trying to find drop shipping merchants with Louisiana-made products that can ship directly to the customer. If you are a Louisiana merchant who makes quality products, and if you can drop ship your products directly to the customer, I would love to hear from you. The only products I cannot carry right now are clothing items, but will carry those in the future. Please visit my site at AmericanCentralStore.com. Click the Contact Us link for the phone number and email address. Thank you, Patriots. Be American. Buy American.
Some people in the Louisiana legislature want to permit the teaching of critical race theory in our state. That theory says that if two babies are born today, one black baby and one white baby, that the white baby is the mean, racist oppressor of the black baby, and that the black baby is the weak, incompetent victim of the white baby. Unbelievable. Those people say that the innocent white baby by his DNA is bad and racist, and the black baby by his DNA is a weak victim who can never succeed. Only a total fool would believe or accept this idiocy. Yet they want to teach this foolishness to Louisiana's young people. Please call your legislator today and raise some sand.
Hey, it's Kevin Carr with your personal sneak preview invitation to join me on Sunday evening from 8 to 9 for Fat Guys at the Movies. Each week, I give you my take on the newest movies and movie news, but in a fun way. Not like those stuffy movie review snobs who take themselves way too seriously. I tell you if the new movies rock or not. Yes, it's fun for all ages with Fat Guys at the Movies. I'll see you Sunday evening at 8 on WGSO 990 AM.
The Tux Charitable Foundation, in association with the crew of Tux Parade, is holding the 4th Tux Umbrella Walk and Gumbo Gras on October 28th at 9 AM in Audubon Park, shelter number 10 off Magazine Street. Food, drink, live music are all included with registration. This is where Mardi Gras meets Halloween, and everyone is encouraged to come in costume. Kids' activities include the Small Friars Umbrella Decorating Tent, Decorated Wagon Parade, and Small Friars Funhouse. Please go to www.tuxfoundation.org for information and registration.
Born in the USA now, got in a little hometown jam.
All right, welcome back to Liberty or Lockdown, enjoying our hour here with Dr. John Merrifield. But before we went into that last commercial break, what were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about what private schools are doing and that kids can thrive when they switch environments. And, yeah, wow, it's an amazing thing. And, you know, people blame lack of parental involvement and other things for their children not doing well or for children generally not doing well. Sure, there's always going to be some of that. I mean, parents are the vast majority of the population, and some are good at it and some are not. But what we see, and I've just there were examples repeatedly, examples within the same family. This is not ideological. You know, some kid, you know, say Johnny and Susie. Johnny's doing great as his assigned school. He loves it. The curriculum's good. He's got his friends there and all that. But his sister Susie's not. So the parents are not ideological, pro-school choice, whatever. They're trying to find a fit for their kids. And they find an alternative for Susie, and they put her there. And suddenly she goes from bored to tears and on her phone and acting out to now she's jazzed and excited and into it. And we desperately need more of that. And there's a reason why the two federal laws are called No Child Left Behind and Every Student Succeeds, is because in spite of those laws, every student is not succeeding and children are being left behind, and they will continue to be until we level the playing field between public and private. And absolutely positively, let's use those education savings accounts and not vouchers. Part of that's political. Vouchers are the V word, kind of like the scarlet letter.
Right.
Because our opponents have done their political work well. But the other reason not to use vouchers and to prefer education savings accounts is sometimes people cap tuition at whatever the voucher is. And that's price control. That's devastating. And we don't want to do that. So to avoid having that argument about whether people should be, whether schools should be restricted to charging no more than the voucher amount or letting people top off, let's avoid that argument by just using education savings accounts. And that automatically lets people use scholarship money or their own money to top off the, like in Utah, the $8,000 there and the similar amount that we would we'd like to get here in Utah. Again, it needs to be universal. It needs to not be, if your school is rated okay by the government, no school choice for you, or if the government rates your school as failing, then you can have some. No, every family has the potential to have a child in it for whom the assigned school is not working. Every family needs to be able to take their tax money that's been taken from them to a school that does work.
So some people here in Louisiana would say, well, we have school choice with the charters. What would you say about that?
Well, charters, for one thing, are restricted in opening. But the biggest problem with charters is we have that price control. In other words, the charters are not allowed to charge tuition. And you're probably going, gasp, why should they be allowed to charge tuition? Well, because then they could do things that cost more than the government allocated amount. And when we have the price system in play, when the market sets the price, that sends all kinds of incentives and signals out to the entrepreneurs to get into the market and for the right conditions. And the worst aspect of the price control, the capping of tuition at the government payment amount, is the wait lists that we end up with, the shortages. Okay, shortages are devastating in economics. They eliminate all producer accountability to their customer because their wait list is sitting there. If a customer is not happy the way the school person says, oh, I'm so sorry, you're unhappy. Well, step aside. Somebody wants to take your place. And so these are terrible restrictions. And let me make a quick segue to something else that I want to make a point about. Assigning children based on where they live to a school is destroying our cities in America. I mean, it's destroyed many of them already. When we do that, we have families compete to be near the better schools. Duh. You got to do that for your children. Well, what does that mean? That means the families with the most money are going to be concentrated around the best schools, and the families with the least money are going to be concentrated around the worst schools. So we have ghetto areas where the schools, for whatever reason, weren't as good as other schools, and that makes the schools even worse because they're surrounded just by poor people now because the people that had money moved to the area of a better school. That's why our suburbs that typically have the better schools have all the money, and our inner cities are rotting away because we've left behind the poorest people around the worst schools.
Exactly. So how do we change that?
Well, by school choice, then you're no longer locked into just your one school. It wouldn't hurt to eliminate the attendance areas as well. But the most important thing to do is to have an alternative to the assigned school on a level playing field, namely the same amount of money follows a child regardless of the school deemed by their parents to be the best fit for them. In my book and right here, I'm going to call it what it is. It's called non-discrimination.
That's right.
We don't discriminate. We do, but we should not. It should be sacrilegious to discriminate against our children based on the school that happens to work best for them. They get less money if it's a private school than if it's the assigned public school. We should not discriminate against the children for whom the assigned school is a poor fit.
So what we have to offer here is that this child that's possibly living in an urban area, in a poorer area, can take that voucher and go to school wherever he or she fits.
No vouchers.
No vouchers. Sorry, I take that back. You already corrected me.
Yeah, see, we're
old school.
Conditioned. Yeah, it's something that's hard to get rid of. We don't know. No vouchers.
Okay. Give me the correct terminology.
Education savings account.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's the same dollar amount, but it's more flexible, and we avoid all that political nonsense that people associate with that word. I mean, there's nothing wrong with vouchers per se. Education savings accounts are even better.
ESAs.
But unfortunately, a lot of people have a reaction to the term voucher that isn't rational. But whether it's rational or not, their vote still counts the same.
Okay, so I stand corrected. So the child can take his or her ESA and go to the school that fits him or her best.
Exactly. That's what we need.
And we don't have that.
No, we don't. Arkansas.
And it's
done
common
it.
Sense, and I can't grasp why we don't have that.
It's an amazing thing.
It's beyond my understanding. I mean, it's so simple the way you explain it. You would think we've had that for 50 years, but we don't have that here in Louisiana.
No, you know, Louisiana used to be a leader in school choice. In the days of maybe 10 years ago with Bobby Jindal, he created not universal programs, but, you know, he saved some kids from a failure with their poor-fitting assigned school. But unfortunately, that little bit here, little bit there is no longer leading the way. And now it's universal. 10 states have got universal choice now, and we need to be number 11.
So when we get this bill passed through the House and the Senate next legislative session, we need you, the voters, to call the representatives and say, you know, don't kill it in the coming out of the committee. We really want to get going on this so we can bring Louisiana to number one and help our children. This is all about saving the our children are so uneducated these days, and it doesn't matter in what area, whether you're poor or middle class or upper class, there's still the education is not a good education. Unless you're paying $20,000 for an education.
Even the ritzy private schools could stand some additional entrepreneurial initiative and some additional competition. There's a lot.
All right. Well, you have a minute to close up, so go ahead and say what you want to say.
Well, yeah, let me reemphasize the main point is you need your governor to demand universal choice expansion. Every family in Louisiana needs to have access to a private school without having to pay twice. And charters are fine, too. If you can get into one that's a good fit for your kid, great. But unfortunately, a lot of them are school chance, not school choice. And
it's a lottery.
We don't want to have our future depend on a lottery. So, we need education savings accounts with non-discrimination.
All right. So if you want more information on this, you can go to policytalk.org. Right. Policytalk.org. This is Dr. John Merrifield, and he is with Liberty or Lockdown. And Huck and Dave, we'll see you next Thursday. The Lord bless you.
Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to